And Lucy Curry is back with us while you all work on sending answers in for Jack's question, if you want to do that. Lucy Curry is back with us on Sunday morning, and gee, what a mailbag we got after her last time with us. This morning with her, we're concentrating on muffins. Lucy's an award-winning food writer, author of home-cooked seasonal recipes for every day. She's also RNZ's executive editor, lifestyle and entertainment. Morena.
Morena, Jim. How nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. First of all, there were the tomato sauce recipes that came in. I know you can grow tomatoes all year round, seemingly in that miraculous microclimate of yours in whatever part of Wellington you live in. But thanks to all the recipes that came in, some of which I passed on to you. You like them, but you save tomato seeds too, don't you?
Yes, I do. So my tomatoes are just coming to the end of their life. I grew two varieties this year. I tried to grow three, but one of them refused. One was a white cherry tomato, which was amazing. Most incredible lemony kind of scent and flavour. And the great thing about them is that the other members of my family, I didn't say those tomatoes are ripe already. I'd just go into the garden and think, oh, they're ripe. And I'd sort of stand there and throw the ball to the dog and eat the tomatoes and have them all to myself.
And they didn't think they were ripe.
No.
We were talking about vinegar with you, and there was tons of reaction. My four children were given cider vinegar by me regularly. They're now 40, 39, 37 and 35 years old. Says Roz of Dunedin, the only dental treatment any of them have had is the removal of wisdom teeth. I think you have to watch for the acid on the enamel, though, don't you?
I wonder if she gave it to them neat.
Yeah, maybe rinse your mouth out with water afterwards. Jim, I've had apple cider vinegar in my lemon and honey every morning for years, and it's helped to keep the gout at bay.
What is gout?
Something you get in your big toe. I don't know. I've got a relative with gout, but I've never inquired to. Preserving garlic and honey in a jar for a couple of weeks. Absolutely delicious. Very healthy too. Retains all its health benefits, blah, blah.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, so you haven't done that yourself,
no,
though?
No, okay. No.
That's from Ruth, I think, in Point Chevalier, which is a great suburb. we were talking about this, Lucy. Imported garlic is usually bleached. Preserves it and makes it look very white. That was a text that came in. But I looked this up, and the garlic I was talking to you about is actually white from China. Ah. On garlics.com, they say it's natural that some garlic's bleached before sale, but in China they grow a very white garlic.
And I have seen very white garlic grown here too, but I don't, you know, hold it up to the scale that the dentist uses to see how yellow your teeth are.
It still doesn't taste like garlic normally does.
Oh,
it's blander. It's blander. I wonder if it's got the same punch. Can I ask you something about olive oil? I saw a suggestion in one of the papers that you should save all the things that you buy that come in olive oil and reuse the olive oil. Can you do that?
Yes, I do that all the time.
Right.
Let's say, what's something that might come in olive oil? Olives themselves or sun-dried tomatoes,
yes,
which I know are a bit unfashionable, but I love them anyway. I save the oil for that and use it in cooking or, depending on what it's been flavoured with, I might use it for a salad dressing.
Right.
Because otherwise it's senseless. You're pouring it down the drain.
I wonder why we've done that over the years. Because I've never thought of saving the oil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I save the oil from, I know something that's really good to save the oil from, is anchovies.
Doesn't it taint it with a...
It has a slightly...
Anchovic.
Anchovy. Yeah. Sounds like the name of a tennis player.
It does.
Jim Anchovic. I mean, you wouldn't perhaps use that in a salad dressing, but you would use it. I would use it if I was cooking up some onions for the basis of a sauce, because it adds a little note of umami.
Oh, okay, it's a good idea.
So, yeah.
It's not full anchovy. Meghan Markle now has a cooking show, and scorn, cup after cup of it, is being poured over this initiative by her detractors. Now, she puts, but they may be underestimating her, I think, because she's had a bit of a history of cookery. She used to cook a lot on her Instagram account, the old one. Meghan puts ricotta, cheese and jam on toast. Would you put ricotta, cheese and jam on toast?
Look, I never thought I would have so much in common with Meghan Markle.
Yes, you remind me of her.
Yes, I know. but yes, ricotta, ricotta and jam on toast is delicious, and I've done many other variations of ricotta plus something on toast. Oh, I know what's really good. Ricotta and honey and pear.
I'm trying to imagine it.
Or do you know what's really good on toast, if ricotta is not to your taste, is goat's cheese and honey.
Goat's cheese and honey.
Yeah, because you've got salty and sweet and then smooth and crunchy.
My dad once cooked mushrooms and honey.
Ah.
That wasn't an entire success.
No.
No.
I can't imagine those things going together. But you know that phrase they use about what grows together goes together?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thyme and honey, for example. Yeah. You could have goat's cheese, thyme and honey. Or thyme honey with goat cheese.
Or mushrooms if they're near a beehive.
Yes, but only them.
While we're migrating towards muffins, someone says brioche buns. There is definitely something wrong with the world. Several Kiwi bakeries have taken to calling things brioche, and they are nothing like it, says JK of Christchurch. Have you noticed this?
Yes, I have. Not so much with brioche. Brioche burger buns are now quite common in supermarkets.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, they're more like, I have to say, I haven't had a McDonald's hamburger for a very, very long time. Not since I was 20. Yes, McDonald's was invented then.
Wow.
And you know that kind of sweet, soft bun?
Have you really not had a Big Mac since you were 20?
I haven't.
Wow.
I remember it was the day of my flatmate Holly Mudford's 21st birthday. And as part of our party preparations, I remember going with her and our other flatmate Kylie to McDonald's on Manor Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even have a burger. I had a thick shake and thought, I'm never coming here again. And I haven't.
You haven't?
Apart from to use their fine toilet facilities occasionally in points around the world.
I don't think you should do that without buying something.
No, it's probably quite immoral. I'm sorry, McDonald's.
Muffins. You had a job once delivering muffins.
I got a job delivering muffins for a little business run by two women. I can't remember their names, but the company name was Muffin Stuff.
Muffin Stuff.
And so 3 days a week, I think, at 8 a.m, I would don my bright orange T-shirt emblazoned with Muffin Stuff, We Deliver, on the front, for which they should have paid me danger money, really, and collect my basket of muffins and do the rounds of various offices on Dixon Street, Manor Street and Willis Street. And they were beautiful muffins. They were really delicious. I was trying to remember the flavours. I know there was one that was maybe white chocolate and blueberry, which at the time seemed very avant-garde.
I came across Morning Glory muffins in Ceylon magazine, emphasising the fruit, which made me think, often I'm disappointed by a muffin which has fruit as far apart from the other pieces as oases in a desert, really. In other words, hardly any fruit. What's your position on fruit in a muffin?
I think the more fruit, the better. And I can tell you another story about another job I had where I'd moved up the food chain a little bit and I wasn't delivering on the streets anymore.
Yeah.
On the streets anymore.
You're off the streets by this stage.
I was off the streets by this stage. And I was working in a cafe where I was making coffee and serving customers and doing the dishes. But I was deemed responsible enough to help the cook with an important task, and that was putting the blueberries in the muffins.
Ah.
I never buy a blueberry muffin anymore because, well, from that day on, there's lots of things I don't eat.
Burgers, no, that's right.
Muffins.
You'd be starving by now.
Yeah, I had to put 3 blueberries in each muffin, all in the top.
That's not enough, is it?
No, I had to poke them in the top so it looked like the illusion.
How duplicitous.
I know. And I suppose blueberries are expensive and, you know, times were tough. It was the 90s, but I've always felt suspicious of blueberry muffins ever since. In my recent travels, I've been inspecting muffins in cafe cabinets, and I'm disappointed to report that they are still giant.
Are they?
They're still muffins made for people who are like 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
They're huge.
And dry.
And dry, and Not very interesting. Well, they're basically cake in the shape of a muffin. And I think, let's be honest and just, you know...
A big round dry cake.
A big round dry cake with perhaps a couple of blueberries on the top. When I'd moved on further from the streets and washing dishes and cafes, my first office job was at Parliament. I'd go down and buy an apricot and bran muffin from a little cafe that no longer exists. And it was very juicy and flavoursome and sustaining, but not in a way like a giant round dry cake.
Yeah. Well, what happened to bran muffins?
I think they've completely fallen out of vogue.
But they were nice.
They were.
Yeah.
They really were. Or maybe I'm looking back with, you know, bran tinted glasses, and perhaps some of them were a bit dry and hard. And boring, and there's something a little bit worthy about bran.
Yeah, and it's got a worthy name.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it needs to be rebranded.
Oh, nice.
See what
yeah.
I did there?
Yeah, I did.
But I wonder, I actually wonder if part of the fatwa against bran muffins is because they contain dried fruit. And dried fruit seems to make people very angry. There's a little cafe below RNZ in Wellington where they make all sorts of cafe goods, including this fantastic banana bread. So your wonderful producer, Andrew, had influenced me once because I saw him eating a slab of this banana bread that was loaded with chocolate.
I can see him doing that.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have to twist my arm. I ran down and bought a piece as fast as I could. And on my way back, I bumped into another of our colleagues and I said, look at this amazing thing I'm about to have. It's chocolate banana bread. And she said, oh, yeah, that does look good. A couple of days later, I arrived at work and the first thing she said to me was, Lucy, that banana bread, it had dried fruit in it.
What would she have said if she had come across a fly biscuit?
Oh, yeah, fly cemetery.
Fly cemetery. Really? So people object to dried fruit and...
Yeah.
And buns, muffins, whatever.
Yeah.
So, how would you recommend making nice, light, not too dry muffins, please?
I think with muffins, they need a light hand. So, not too much stirring. You know, you don't need to beat it into submission.
Mm-hmm.
You need the trick to making a good muffin is to barely mix it at all. And I know some people, I read somebody saying that because you don't really need to mix a muffin, that's why they're great for children to make, you know, bearing in mind it's the school holidays.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, every child I know would beat something to death with a wooden spoon rather than not mix it enough.
Yeah.
So don't mix it too much. Apply all the normal rules to baking, so measure carefully. Have the oven at the right temperature. Don't make them too big.
Yes.
Don't overfill the muffin tin.
But do overfill the muffin.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of.
Put more than three blueberries in it.
More than three blueberries.
There's a great recipe on rnz.co.nz for an Alison Holst recipe for crunchy lemon muffins.
Oh, that sounds
that
nice.
Are a cake shaped. A muffin-shaped cake, really, but they have a crunchy lemon sugar topping.
Well, that sounds good.
And Alison Holst was probably the undisputed queen of muffins.
Yeah.
You know, she made many a cookbook.
She was the undisputed queen of everything for a while, wasn't she?
Yeah, Alison she was. Holst. Yes, she was.
Thank you. Muffin advice. Before we go, just drawing upon your wide experience in fast food, the first fully autonomous fast food outlet in the world is open in California. Robots cook your burgers and fries, because evidently cooking fries is one of the least desirable jobs around, according to the report. A question, we hear about duck fat, but I see that peanut oil is also widely touted as optimal for fries, which a lot of people would probably like to know. What do you think about an oil for fries? You must probably cook fries sometimes.
I do. I don't deep fry them, though.
You don't?
I cook them in the oven. And actually, my husband does all the fry cooking, cooking of fries.
I think you said that one other time.
Yeah, he's addicted to
fries
potatoes.
Expert.
Yeah,
right.
And he's
That's
a fries
right.
expert.
Yeah.
I bought him this magic gadget. It cost about $10 from... You know, those little kind of Japanese variety stores.
Yeah.
That's a fry cutter.
Ooh.
And it is, I sort of created a monster because now he makes them all the time. It's like a little metal grid, razor sharp metal grid, and you press that down over the potatoes.
And it cuts them instantly.
And it cuts them instantly.
What was the look on your husband's face as you gave him this fantastic cutter?
It was probably the best present I've ever given him. But as for the frying medium, probably for deep frying, peanut oil might be good because it's what they say you need for deep frying, something with a high smoke point.
Yep.
And peanut oil is probably good on that basis.
Lucy Coe, thank you for your expertise again.
Thank you, Jim.
Regards always to your husband's butt. And we'll catch up next time.
Look forward to it.